Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hollywood, this is your host with the most, Nikki Kolula. We're here with another quarantine episode of Wake Up Hollywood. We have two amazing artists to do our next interview with. Please welcome Sarah Lynn Maher and Christine Olsen. Did I get that right?
Mayor, like John Mayer.
Mayer. I was going to say, what? I was going to say Mayer, but I was like, no, it's not like Mayer, is it? So, okay, I messed up. Let me start over. So, Sarah Lynn Maher and Christine Olsen, right?
That's right.
All right. And they are the stars of a new showcase that's going to be featured in Times Square called Fanging Out, which is part of a showcase called the Macabre Mansion, which is part of the Shockfest Film Festival. Did I do that right?
That was perfect.
That was amazing.
A lot of things to remember, you know, in like 10 seconds of information. Anyways, so let's talk about you both as artists and how this all came together. Sarah, why don't we start with you and then we'll get to Christine as well.
Sure. So I am an actress from the East Coast. I live in Hartford, Connecticut. I've done some regional commercials, short and independent films, live murder mystery dinner theater. And this came to be how I'm here. I got a notification on Backstage, which is basically like Indeed.com for actors, about Shockfest looking for a new horror host. So I'm like, I love horror movies and acting, so let me apply. And then that has been this long process, which has brought us here together with Christine and yourself.
That's awesome. And Christine, how did you get involved?
Well, kind of a similar story as to what Sarah just told. I got a notification on Backstage for an audition for Shockfest Film Festival's new horror host. And this was before COVID-19. So I submitted a self-tape and basically I was to create a character based upon a comic book drawing that was sent out. And I created this character. She's a vampire from the deep south. Her name is Estelle. She's Halesville. And here we are today. This was another one of our challenges. So part of the challenge that we faced auditioning through COVID-19 was that they had to turn their whole live interactive film festival into something virtual. And basically all of the actors that have made it to the finals of being this horror host were teamed up in pairs to create their own show. And Sarah and I created our show called Fangin' Out.
Oh, no.
Good name,
and,
by the way.
We're just fanging out. And I wrote the theme song to it, and Sarah dances, and we basically review and critique movies, play some games. It's kind of like a throwback to Wayne's World meets
Mystery Science Theater a little bit.
Yeah, with thrown in with some like comedy horror, you know?
Yeah.
And they loved it so much that they're featuring it as part of their Macabre Mansion, which is a virtual love story escape room.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
that's
crazy. Yeah, it's very interesting. Cool? They've secured the largest screen in North America at Times Square called the Godzilla screen. And that will be broadcasting live the whole event via Zoom live on this giant screen in Times Square on Monday, July 27th. So our last challenge, hopefully our last challenge.
Yeah, right.
I'm enjoying the process, but oh my gosh, it's just been so much. And
it's been a run.
It's been a run. And
how many times, how many audition like parts of the trial did you have to go through?
I don't even know. Since the whole thing started, it was almost like weekly that we would get homework assignments to either comment on stuff on their page in character or create videos, send in pictures. So a lot, a lot.
So for me, at least, it's been since the end of February. So, that's almost half the year. What's great about this event is that instead of just canceling the whole film festival, a lot of independent film artists, filmmakers and artists have submitted to this film festival. Instead of canceling it, they flipped it to this virtual platform.
Awesome.
Fans and they can tune in on Zoom and be a part of the interaction and go into these different escape rooms, follow different characters through like this freaky little maze that the creators have come up
That's
with.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're giving away some free tickets, some promo codes to randomly selected viewers that follow specific directions.
That's gonna be tough. That's the toughest part right there because people don't follow directions. These days.
Yeah.
We can't even get them to wear a mask, let alone follow directions. That's great. So let me ask you this. When you're kind of like getting into character, what is your process? Are you doing kind of like Uta Hagen's respect for acting? Or are you kind of doing method acting? Like, what are your processes to get in the character for these amazing hostesses with the mostesses?
For me, it's funny because me and Christine were texting about this like last week because we had another one of these interviews and it was like hours before. And I was like, I'm starting to do my makeup now. And she was like, damn. And I'm just like, for me, I like to get into the makeup and start like, my character is a dancer, and so I like to kind of listen to something like that kind of gets me in that groove. And then I kind of just like to. Oh, what was that?
Like who? Like who's the musician that's getting you into the groove?
For me, it is and always will be Shakira. I mean, she's like my all-time favorite. She's Colombian and Lebanese, which is what I am, which is what I made my vampire character. Her name is Esmeralda.
Good name.
Yeah. She's this belly dancing, shaking vampire. So Shakira always gets me in the mood to just like move my hips. And then anything like kind of just Arabic music in general, like some belly dance drum solos I like to listen to because that kind of puts me in that mode as well.
I'm a huge fan of world music, so that's why I asked, because you never know like what's moving people, and it's nice when you hear world music kind of having that effect, because I think all music kind of draws from that on some level, so that's awesome. So you get into character, you get into the garb, you get into the makeup, you get into the zone of the music, and then you become that character.
Yes. Oh, and the fangs, of course. We put the fangs on. And then I think that kind of does most of the work right there, because you talk in a certain way and then you look the part. So it's like, I've got this now.
Yeah.
What's your process?
Well, especially for me, I can't do the accent properly without the fangs. I can kind of do it, but Estelle, that's my character. So I wake up in the morning kind of late, and we're on different coasts. So LA, West Coast, and Sarah's out in Connecticut. So
that's my bulldog. Sorry.
Oh, cool.
Hey, bud.
You can see him.
Oh. So cute.
He's got an open door policy. He can always come in. So go ahead.
That's
sorry.
Great. That's okay. So she already has most of her day kind of started. She's three hours ahead of me, so I feel like when I'm getting up, I'm a night owl. I'll be staying up all night cutting these videos, recording these farcical comedy songs to public domain music. Like I'll go to bed at 4 or 5 in the morning and then have to wake up for 11 in the morning for these challenges or these Zoom meetings. So coffee is my ritual. I have to eat something, be it either like a bowl of oatmeal or like a hash brown or something. And then the fangs.
Get through the fangs.
Yeah, then the fangs. And then I feel I am Estelle. I'm a singer. I'm a songwriter. I also bartend. And I'm from Canada. And my dad, just like you, is from St. John's, Newfoundland.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Steve and I were talking. I was like, I was born in St. John's, Newfoundland. I'm like, you're Canadian. I'm Canadian, too, except I was only there for a year. So
yeah.
I'm like half in and half out.
Well, I'm from Toronto, and but my dad's a Newfie. And for all y'all who don't know what a Newfie is, just picture a really sweet, hospitable folk with drunken Irish accents.
That's awesome.
So I kind of took the hospitable aspect of that and turned it into this vampire. I'm obsessed with vampires. I'm obsessed with horror. I've always been a little freaky, and that's how I get into character. I just kind of go within, and I become like this alter ego girl.
Well, I vampire feel like, girl. You know, just like dressing up and becoming part of the character is so much fun. I mean, that's kind of like why we love being artists. You know, it's like you become, you know, something other, bigger than yourself or other than yourself, or and channel certain emotions. So what was the most human part of your characters? Sarah, we'll start with you and then we'll go with Christine.
The most human part of the characters. I would say for Esmeralda, definitely like the sensuality part of human nature. And my backstory for her, she came to the U.S. to dance and entertain people like at different cabarets and venues like that. And then along the way, she was turned into a vampire from a sexy man in the audience who caught her attention instead of her catching theirs. And then he turned her into a vampire. So now she's basically living kind of this nomad lifestyle because you can't stay at one venue and never age without getting questioned about it. So she's just like a nomad and uses
that. She's a traveling minstrel.
Exactly. And then she uses that sensuality to lure in her victims. So it's like this cyclical thing of just like, I'm going to trick you and make you think we're going to get a little jiggy with it. But really, that's not the case.
She's like a conniving gypsy. That's right.
Yes.
Sink her teeth into you.
Exactly. Like a black widow.
Yeah.
My web, and then I'll rip your head off.
I love the backstories. I think backstories with characters is everything. So like the more you kind of have those layers, the more exciting and kind of cool the character becomes. Christine, what about you?
The human aspect is, like I said, I feel like Estelle is a part of me that I don't get to be on the daily, especially during quarantine. She's very friendly, very welcoming. Automatically people trust her because of her Southern hospitality. So I'll try to put the accent on without the teeth. I'm like, welcome y'all. I'm Estelle. I own a 24-hour saloon and you're welcome for a drink anytime. You know, she's just very friendly and relatable. She sings and she serves you drinks and she makes you really comfortable. And as a mirror to my life, I love to host parties and cook and you know, just make my guests feel completely at home. But on the opposite, I don't drain them when I don't suck their blood when they're here. But Estelle does. So yeah, that's probably her most human aspect, is that she's so darn friendly.
That's awesome. And like, how did these two entities meet in your world as far as the characters?
Well, Shockfest forced us together as an ensemble challenge to see how we work together as a team. The way they paired us up is that she dances. Esmeralda is a dancing vampire and I'm a singing vampire. So our music inevitably brought us together. And I have my own 24-hour saloon. So Esmeralda doesn't have to keep going from bar to bar. Exactly.
That's awesome.
Southern hospitality.
That's right.
And so like when somebody walks into the virtual escape room, are you guys just constantly like working on storylines or like commentary, or is it, you know, when people are coming in and that's when it becomes this showcase? How does it work?
There's going to be different rooms. So the whole thing is going to start and there's going to kind of be like an introduction to what this is and what's going to happen. And then the audience is going to be taken throughout different rooms of the virtual mansion. They're going to meet different characters. They'll meet our competitors, basically, like the different vampires who are trying to be hosts as well. And then they'll come to our room and we'll kind of introduce them to us, who we are. And we are going to be reviewing some films, kind of screening some things too, giving out awards. So it's like a little mesh of like us banging out plus these awesome independent filmmakers and their projects and what they've been up to.
Yes. And That's cool. It's not like randomly you can just enter these rooms and we'll be there. It is paced, it's timed, but it's guided. It's a guided experience to make you feel as though you're in this wacky mansion and being guided throughout the rooms. And in order to escape, I don't want to give too much away, but you have to collect something, and there's a gamified aspect to it. It's really, really cool. Something I've never heard of being done. Mm-hmm. And I recommend everybody just check it out. It's
well, I mean, I love escape rooms. I think it's such a great concept to do something like this and bring the escape room to the virtual concept, because, you know, people are, the coolest thing about what I think every artist is going through right now is like seeing the entire world being quarantined. You see the entire world depending on art and music and dance and all the things that are creative to get them through their days, because it's not about their jobs, or it becomes more about the things that are actually super important. It becomes about family, being together with your circle, or finding things that people are excited about, and seeing how artists are innovating in this time. That is the most incredible part of this whole process, seeing how artists are able to create remotely. Like, you guys are in different parts of, you know, LA or wherever, you know, and you're going to be broadcast in New York with other artists. I mean, that's crazy. And you're doing it from this, you know, the safety of your home. So you're not harming anybody. So I just think it's like a super innovative concept and something that is like one of the most peculiar and awesome things to come about. So I was like, I have so many questions about this. So for the Shock Fest, have you seen any of the films beforehand, or are you actually going to watch them as you're reviewing them in real time?
Well, without giving too much away, once again, we have been named the reviewers. So I think we're the only two vampires that have actually been given access to these films because it just works so well with what we do in our show that we created for the pilot, which also, I'm sure you'll include links and stuff at the end of this, but you can watch it on Shockfest's Facebook page, our first episode. And that's what got us this spot in Times Square. So we've personally watched two, but then there's some from the past event. So they had an event in November called Hotel Paranormal, which was a live in-person event in Vegas, where they introduced their Sick and Twisted Six, which were the first six official selections for the film festival, the directors. And so those films, a lot of them are available on streaming platforms, or, you know, you can find them online. And so we've seen some of those as well, just to familiarize ourselves with it. I just feel so blessed, because without knowing about this audition process, I wouldn't have even had any clue about a lot of these filmmakers. And the quality of some of these films that we've seen is just amazing. Like, you know, I feel like even as a musician, you encounter this a lot, right? You go to clubs and you listen to music and you go on SoundCloud and you're like, how come these people are not famous? And then you like turn on the radio and you hear this. I mean, not everything on the radio is garbage, but most of it is, in my opinion. And lot of it is. Like, how is this person making it so mainstream and this person so underground? Like, more people should be hearing this. And the film industry is like that too.
For sure. I piggybacking off of that, like, I think like what you were saying, one of the coolest things about Shockfest is that a lot of what's coming out of the film industry, I think, is hot garbage. Like, I'm tired of reboots, remakes, prequels, sequels, live actions. Shockfest Film Festival, like, anything you're going to see from them is original content from independent filmmakers who, like Christine said, the quality of the films is just as good as anything you're going to see in the movie theater coming out of Hollywood. So it just opens the door for us to watch more stuff. And I know, I think especially horror fans, but film people in general, they're always looking for the next recommend of like, oh, what can I watch next? Shockfest has like a list and a half of stuff for everybody to watch.
How long have they been around? I haven't heard about it until you guys brought them up. So that's just incredible. I love this concept. And I love horror movies too. Who doesn't love a good horror movie? I mean, really?
Right?
I know. Well,
they've been around for about 12 years. And they have a quite a little cult following when it comes to people and their reach. I have a friend who's from Toronto as well, but she lives in Ireland. And I mentioned that was part of this process. She's like, oh my God, I've totally heard of Shockfest. They're so cool. So to some people, it's more underground, but if you're into, you know, horror flicks and whatnot, more than likely, you know about Shockfest. Yeah.
I feel like the greatest thing about horror movies is the rush. Like, there's a rush and anticipation and like the anxiety of like, oh my God, like that is always a payoff with every horror movie that you don't always get with any movie, you know? So horror movies, I think anybody that you immediately respond to people that love horror movies because they're chasing the rush and, you know, they're involved. It's like a choose your own adventure almost, like, don't go into that room, you know? So yeah. It's cool when you see that independent filmmakers have a way to showcase their ideas and their concepts and their films through something like this. So I applaud Shockfest. This is such a cool thing. Very cool thing.
On top of that, I want to just add to that, it's not just independent filmmakers. I mean, they have some big names. Like, Clive Barker was a part of it last year. And, you know, it's just, and they have, like, this year, it's being narrated by Malcolm McDowell. And if you don't know who that is, he was Alex in A Clockwork Orange. He was in Caligula. Like, he's a big time British superstar in the horror film industry. So big names. Linda Blair was there a few years ago. She was Regan from The Exorcist. And talk about some of the Sick and Twisted Six, Sarah, from last year, like Clive.
Yeah. So Clive Barker was there last year. One of the artists was Joe Lujan. He's got like a horror trilogy called Rust, which is about a killer who hunts his victims at an abandoned like horror park or an abandoned theme park. So that's pretty cool. And he screened his third movie there, the final installment. And outside of that, on top of Linda Blair, Malcolm McDowell, Clive Barker, Eli Roth was there.
Wow.
Like some years ago, who I personally am a huge fan of his movies, like talk about a rush and like anxiety. Like, I haven't watched a single film of his where I'm not just like watching like, oh my God.
So mention some of the films that Eli has done, just because I'm sure not everybody is familiar with the world of
I forget. I'm like, I know, oh, right? Yeah, people. So Hostel is probably his biggest claim to fame, along with Cabin Fever, which was his first movie, which the story of how that came to be is really interesting. I mean, that was like, he put everything on the line. Like, his dad basically was like, I'm giving you my retirement money to make this. And then obviously it paid off like tenfold. Cabin Fever, Hostel, The Green Inferno, which if anyone has not seen, that's a movie that I'm like, I don't know if I'll watch that again. It was like that kind of movie, but it was.
There's some that are just so disturbing. It's just like, wow.
This like, is holy, yeah. Holy crap.
And for people that don't know who Clive Barker is, I mean, have you seen Candyman? Have you seen Hellraiser? Like, you know,
I actually sang for one of his movies. He did a movie called Nightbreed.
Yeah.
And Danny Elfman was the film composer. It was his second movie. And I got to sing for the score. And I got to watch parts of the movie before it was released. So, like, I am down with Clive Barker. I think
that was 30 years ago.
30 years ago. I think I was 10 or 11.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so exciting.
But it's so weird because, like, I remember watching the movie so long ago and then just forgetting about it. And then I watched the movie recently and I was like, whoa, this is like a horror movie and a comedy merging. Whereas Hellraiser is like all horror and just super dark and twisted. And I just like that he can also kind of have these other dimensions, you know, to his writing.
Absolutely. And I love that. I love that connection that you have to Shockfest Film Festival. You didn't even know.
Right there. Dude, he's a Clive Barker. I'm like, oh man. Hellraiser, Nightbreed was a movie we did. And he's done so many more. He's done series and all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He's like on the level of Stephen King, you know, he's just that level of like being that dark and twisted dude that can write some crazy stories and turn them into movies, you know? So
that's right. And last year he won the Shocker Award. So, you know, that was a big, he's not an independent filmmaker, you know, he's pretty big, but it opens up the stage to have your film up against and running with, like, these are your teammates, man, these, you know, and it's such a great opportunity to have that in the film world, because I mean, as a musician as well, like primarily I'm a musician before an actor, I've been a musician my whole life, but it's like, there aren't so many platforms where you get to play in the big leagues with all the rest. It's not like Beyonce and me have songs that are hitting neck and neck, but in this horror film.
Well, I also love that it's genre specific. Like,
yeah,
you know, there's usually a film festival that's just, it's just a whole bunch of different kinds of movies. And it's just, the spectrum is so big that, you know, you can kind of get lost in the shuffle. But with horror movies, you're really kind of attracting an audience that all loves the same kind of film. And then there's different realms of things that they can enjoy. So it's very cool that this thing exists. And you're a part of this virtual escape room. And it's going to be played on Times Square. So have you arranged for any people to be at Times Square to take pictures or anything while you guys are on the big screen? The Godzilla, if you may.
I haven't arranged for anyone to be there live. I know a couple people in New York, but I know people are still being cautious and don't really want to go out there. But I've had people express interest in wanting to attend the virtual event. So that's good and awesome.
Well, it's just such a cool concept.
Yeah, and they've actually hired, you know, so in addition to what's going on virtually through Zoom, so you don't have to purchase a ticket to watch the virtual event. You can watch it via Facebook. If you want to be a part of the virtual event, a part of the voting, which would send Sarah and myself on to, you know, the final finals. Like maybe there's like,
yeah, you've had finals. Many finals.
The finale.
The finale. I like it. The final finale.
Finally. They have photographers and they have like a full on, there's a live aspect to that at Times Square. So I have like a piece of putty in my hand. I get nervous. I don't know what to do with my hand sometimes. I'm like,
that's actually a good idea because I'm here with my fingers like doing
right? That's how I do it. I'm just like sitting here and now I'm like, look at my putty. Anyways, I'll just put that down for a moment. That was interesting. They have dancers and the current host, and he's also the producer, Jeffrey McCobb, that's his stage name. He's going to be at Times Square along with a couple of our fellow competitors who actually live in New York City. They're going to be a part of the live event, which is also going to be broadcasting as well. But I don't know, tune in. You'll see the whole transition. They have photographers and videographers to film and take pictures of all of us when we're on the screen. We are getting IMDb credits for this as a being in a production with, you know, these big names like Malcolm McDowell and whatnot. And so even if, you know, we're gonna win, I know we're gonna win. I have a feeling we're gonna win. It just feels right. You know, you got to go into this in it to win it.
With that positivity.
But for those of for the people that don't win. Does that sound cocky? You still get a credit, you know, and you still, it's not like it was a big waste of time. Like it's nothing worse than going through like a long audition process with a big boot in the butt after and you get nothing to show for it. But this is really cool because we're part of the event that we were all auditioning for to become one. And this pandemic has forced the creative minds at work to morph it into this thing where everybody gets a part in it. It's so amazing.
Well, I love that innovation pivot that they did. It's like, okay, we're not going to cancel this. We're going to keep on moving forward. I love that because everything's been canceled. Mm-hmm. Big music festivals have been canceled. Movie theaters, the releases, they've all been canceled.
Sports.
Restaurants, you know, yeah, sports.
Yeah.
Like, and dude, I'm a diehard Lakers fan. So to see us like winning again, and then they're like, oh, by the way, we're just going to cancel the rest of the season. It's like, wait a minute, what? That's not fair. Why couldn't you do it on a season where we were losing? That's not cool. You know? So
yeah.
It's nice when you see things kind of pivoting to keep moving forward and keep people engaged and keep, you know, the wheels turning, because, you know, the world needs this. I mean, honestly, it's like the world needs entertainment and some escape, because right now everything is so kind of dark in the world, and nothing like a good horror movie to cheer us up, right?
That's actually funny you say that, because this podcast that I listen to, they're called the Dead Meat Podcast. They actually had an episode where they were talking about how fans of horror or horror movies might be better adapted to deal with situations like this, because right. We watch movies where people are going through survival situations all the time.
Right.
And
right.
So we're like learning like, oh, I would do that in this situation. So it's like, we're used to watching crazy stuff happening all the time. So this pandemic is like, all right, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z to like make it out.
Yeah, I love it. I love escape rooms too. So it's like, when I think about that, you have to think like cognitively and just also like on your toes, how can I get this, you know, to work? And that's what everybody in every industry is having to do with this. That's what's like the great equalizer. We're just all mm-hmm. on the same playing field. So it's kind of neat to see that horror movie junkies have a way to kind of showcase their super fandom and also experience an event that is unlike any other. I mean, it's just awesome. And I love that, like, you went through backstage to kind of go through this process. I mean, that just shows me that you guys are hustlers, you know, as far as getting acting gigs, because that's what you have to do in this business. Tell me a little bit about that, like, you know, going through that process. What was that like for each of you just to kind of get through the audition process? How did you one up every part of the process to make it better than the last?
Well, I'll go first. I don't know. so I entered the process of this specific audition, I think a stage or two before Sarah did. And so they sent out this comic book sketch saying, all right, here are the females, model your horror host character as closely as possible. It doesn't have to be the same ethnicity, but, you know, as close, use this as an inspiration. So almost to the T, obviously, I find the blonde girl. And then she happened to be a vampire, because they weren't all vampires. Some of them were zombies. Some were, you know, like Tomb Raider type looking chicks, like just some really powerful women. But I picked the super.
Dude, I'm going to go classic.
Yeah, I got the vampire. She got the wine glass full of blood. I copied it to a T, and then I made a whole backstory to it. You know, it was, and this was right before the pandemic. So I went all out. I'm like, no, I made a little movie. And I know a lot of self-tapes, you just stand in front of, like, no offense to, you know, anybody's, but you stand in front of the curtain and you're like, you say your lines and da, da, da. No, like, I got my friend. I used my friend's house. She lives in this creepy, like, Spanish-style kind of house where she has, like, this really decrepit part to it. So I used that and I set up this, like, this, it almost looked like a saloon. And that's kind of where I was going. I played music in the background, Turkey in the Straw, like, from, like, And I had my friend, and she went to film school. I had my friend videotape me and, like, do the whole experience. We did it 3 times. It was, like, a 2-minute video, so we spent, like, 10 minutes on it. The setup took 3 hours. I'm like, I don't care. I'm nailing this. So I made sure I went over and above each time. Another one of the challenges was to post your video as if you're trapped in Hotel Paranormal as one of the guests and stuff. So, you know, and I'm not a movie maker, I'm not a filmmaker, but all these challenges have, like, awoken this spirit within me. Oh. Like, I am now a filmmaker.
No, and that's what it shows you to, you know, like, I felt the same way when I started working on music videos and I started producing them. And then you start getting so hands-on that you do want to raise the bar as far as how you can create and kind of showcase your talents as a producer or a filmmaker or a musician or an actress. So I love that you're doing that. Sarah, what about you? How did you kind of get into the process and one up each level week to week or finale to finale?
Finale to finale. Yes. For me, I entered the stage of the competition where we had to make a video as if we were trapped in Hotel Paranormal, which, like we said, that was their event last year. And for me, I like to give nods to films I really like, especially in the horror genre, because I feel like that kind of brings people together. It's like, oh, yeah, it's like this one. So, and Shockfest is all about horror. So I'm like, they're going to appreciate it. So I'm just going to do that. And my first submission, I did actually under that desk over there. I went underneath that desk and took my phone. And I was inspired by the Blair Witch Project, the scene where Heather's like, I'm so scared right now. And the snot's like running down her nose. So I went under the desk. Yeah, yeah. And I got in that mode where I needed to get out of Hotel Paranormal. So I was pleading, like, if anyone's finding this tape, you need to save me. Like, they're doing crazy stuff here. So that was fun. And then for a while, I was running with my horror host character was this demon who possessed my body as a victim. And so it was a completely different character from Esmeralda. And so I just took inspiration from like the Evil Dead with my post because they asked us to write things in character. So I like would write in like a certain way, like you have a certain, I guess if you were speaking, it would be cadence. I don't know what you call that in writing form, but everything was just like, to me, like it had to be perfect and on par. And then with Esmeralda, I wanted to kind of one up that with the nod to From Dusk Till Dawn with like the dancing Salma Hayek. Yeah. And then yeah. I'm like, I want to bring my strengths to this character since this is something new. So I dance and do Zumba and belly dance. So I'm like, she's going to be that. And we're just going to like go all out and see what happens.
That's awesome. Yeah.
And another like little secret, I give a little secret away with all of these interviews, but I feel like this part of the process is over with. So our challenge is we had to post them and we were given deadlines and I made sure to watch everybody's post and then post mine.
And then like, post
at the very end. I'm like, all right.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. I see what you're doing.
Yes, well, I got that.
But did you make any changes as you were watching? Or no. You were like, no, this is good.
No, I feel like it was good. It just kind of gave me more confidence at that point. You know, it's always nice to be the last one in the room. Sometimes when you're auditioning too, it's like, if you're going to be the first one, you better blow their freaking socks off and make sure that they don't, but also sitting outside that room and hearing these girls singing and like, you know, and then being the last one, you're like, I got this, you know, there's just some sort of confidence, at least I feel, having known what my competition was. And Sarah, I'm glad we got paired up because honestly, all the women are super talented. The ones that have made it this far, we watched everybody kind of, you know, get ticked off one at a time, right? Like it just was like Survivor, you know, the island is just getting smaller and smaller and smaller. But I found her to be like one of my greatest competition for sure. And
Like, so I need to make her either my biggest enemy or my greatest ally.
Yeah. So when they paired us, well, when they did it, they paired us together and it was like, yes, awesome. Like we are winning this. Like, I don't care. We're winning this. Let's do this.
To the top we go. Yeah.
That's right. And now, so like after you do this performance, what's the next round or how does it work? Are they going to surprise you with a whole new situation?
Probably.
Yeah. We don't know anything for sure right now. Like it, to me, I'm like, I think afterwards they'll announce who they're choosing for the host role or co-host role, whatever is going to be going on. But that's just conjecture at this point.
Yeah, I think there's going to be yet another elimination personally. I think they're going to like narrow it down. Right now there's 7 of us, I think, right?
6 or 7, I think.
Six or seven. Like I think they're going to narrow it down to like 3 or 4.
Okay.
That's my That's my prediction. And then from there, there's supposed to be another event, like a real live event, if COVID doesn't, you know,
take it away.
Well, it can always be virtual, right? Because
right?
this is now the platform.
That's
I have
right.
to ask, yep. I have to ask both of you, this is a random question, but have either of you been to New Orleans?
Yes. Oh my God. I actually went earlier this year in February before everything shut down.
Did you by chance take a haunted history tour?
No, I didn't. That was one of the things I really wanted to do, but we didn't have time for it. We were there for, I think, 6 days.
Okay.
And we just couldn't squeeze it in. I did go to the Museum of Death, which was really cool, really interesting. My boyfriend was like, I'm going to go outside for a little bit. And I was like, all right, I'm just going to like continue walking around. And
like, I still want to go to the depths of my, you know, horror visions.
Horror psyche.
You know, the reason I ask is like, that's one city that has a very dark energy and it has a lot of brooding, horror, haunting history. And everything that when you guys are telling me the characters and you're telling me kind of how you're coming up with this, all I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, this sounds so New Orleans. It's ridiculous because I love, it's my favorite city on the planet. It really is because of the music, because of the voodoo, because of the horror and the haunted history that they have. So I just wanted to see if that was an influence because it kind of sounds like some of what you guys are doing, it's kind of like a dark carnival. Did you guys come up with a theme? Like, you both were vampires. Did you come up with like a way to integrate these two characters into one kind of storyline, or did you just kind of come up with your own individually and then just merge them together?
Well, yeah, so we were paired together at the challenge before this whole challenge, which was finding some people to interview us to advertise the Times Square thing. So We were paired together, and I think just from the moment we got the email, we were on the phone right away with each other, talking about brainstorming ideas about, and I'm like, all right, well, I've got the audio visual thing down. Sarah, you do the research on the topic. Let's exchange notes. Like, you know, we found out just last week that we're both Scorpios. Our birthdays, I mean, we are years. We're years apart, but we're only like 4 days apart. And so I think that just worked automatically too. I'm all about the Zodiac and Scorpios are the darkest sign. And it just like, we have this fierce competitive energy, but we work so well together because we're water, right? But we're like the fiery,
yeah,
we're like
flow.
Hot water.
my girlfriend's a Scorpio, so I know it well.
You know what we're talking about. Yeah,
exactly. So, it just worked. I think communication was key. We didn't want to waste a single second of time and we were on the phone immediately. And it's like, I feel like her and I have become like really close friends, and regardless of what happens after this, like, I feel like I can just call her and be like, hey, or just FaceTime her. Cause this is all I know. I don't like, we've never met each other. So we just have this like long distance relationship. It's going to be strange when we really meet. I know we're going to meet and it's going to be like, oh my God.
Like, whoa, you're real. Yeah.
Where's the screen?
Well, let me ask you this. You know, I think this is one of the coolest things about this collaboration is that you guys did find each other. And I don't think you should stop creating together because there's a reason why these things come about. And you guys kind of touched upon it, like you're creating these things from far away as a symbol. Like, it's like there's a reason why it'll probably eventually end up coming together into another project or another thing that you guys can create. Do you think these are characters that you would like to see in a full-length feature horror film, if you may? Are these characters that you designed, you know, in that regard? Or is it just like, now that you've developed the character and you're seeing how it's blossomed, you think it can turn, you know, the page into getting to that next realm?
So you're asking if what we've created, if we think it could be in like a feature length or some project like that. I do, because that's kind of the way I like to treat any acting endeavor that I do. Like, even when I'm auditioning for commercials, Like, I'm creating a backstory. I'm doing given circumstances. I'm making, like, what this character was doing the day before, even though the commercial audition could be two lines. Right. Like, I don't care. I'm that, like, I guess anal about it, if you want to say. But
well, that's where it's fun. It becomes
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, exactly. That's the creative process, and it yields different results. Like, if you have some set of given circumstances, you're going to act a certain way. But if it's completely different, it'll be a different thing. And so I was just like, let's flesh out Esmeralda as much as we can, because I think when you do that, it gives you more wiggle room and creativity because you have a solid foundation. And so I think that that is adaptable to a feature length for sure. And then, like, as you go, you might make new discoveries about the character as well. So
yeah. And when I developed Estelle, I had so many things in mind. I love Catherine O'Hara. She's, if you know, she was Moira in Schitt's Creek. That's her most recent thing. But she, you know, the mom in Home Alone.
Beetlejuice.
Second City, you know. Yeah. She's from Canada. And she's just that all-time funny woman. And she was, like, a huge inspiration for this character. And kind of like Elvira was, too. I never really watched Elvira. Even though I was a horror buff, I just didn't really identify with that. But when I was building Estelle, the first thing that came to mind was Elvira. It's like, she's a horror host. She reviews movies, you know, and that's kind of what she
does.
She's
not a movie host, a horror movie host. She's the horror host.
Yeah, exactly. Hostess. Yeah. And when they paired us together and we, man, the second we got off of our pilot, so it was streaming live, fanging out, stream live on Facebook, and we were given a topic, and we had to interview Jeffrey McCobb, the now host, and he's also one of the producers of Shockfest. We rehearsed our butts off. We went live. It was awesome. We even went 5 minutes over. We had enough content. Like, you know, the challenge was to fill 30 minutes. And, you know, we were really the only team that filled that whole 30 minutes and then some. And then, like, got off. The first thing, I called her right away. And it's funny. We said, like, even if we don't win, even if we, you know, this never, like, I could see this as being a real show. Like, we could do this again. And then we were asked to write another show for Times Square. And it's just kind of going in that direction. So, I mean, I'd be down for sure. Like, Estelle, I've invested so much of my life in Estelle. I feel like she's a part of me, and the world needs Estelle.
No, I mean, it's just like, you know, the one thing I think all creators forget is when you make a creation, there's a reason. And when you give it, you know, a finite amount of time for that creation to be, sometimes it will only stay for, you know, it'll have a shelf life. But if you make something that kind of has a concept that it can keep going and evolving, that's the kind of character or concept or story that we want to grow with. My favorite movies, my favorite, you know, TV shows, my favorite artists in music, they all make something that is ever going and continuing to evolve always, because that's what makes it intriguing, that something can keep on evolving. So I love that you're thinking past the showcase, but you're also, you know, you're competitive. You're like, we eyes on the prize. We're going to do this now. What is the one thing that you're going to surprise your audience with as far as swagger of your character? Is it improv? Is it costumes? Is it effects? Is it all of the above? Is it sense of humor? Tell me what the jambalaya of your concept. Tell me your game plan as to how you are going to dominate your competition.
That's
a good question. I don't give you that question first. I ease into it.
Well, okay, I can tell you. I won't tell you what song it is, but I was given the opportunity, since Estelle writes all of her own stuff, and for all the challenges, like I said, go on Shockfest and take a look at some of these challenges, these songs that I've written. I was asked to pick one of my favorite songs that I've written myself to perform. So it's going to be broadcasting and performed, and Esmeralda is going to be dancing. And so the surprise we bring, I mean, you'll have to tune in to see which song it is and what will happen after we sing and dance. But that's like a huge opportunity. Awesome. Yeah. I worked hard on this song. It's like probably one of my favorite one, and it just works so well with the show. So yeah, we're going to combine our talents and shock the audience.
You're going to actually do a live performance at Times Square. That's probably the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, virtually live. And
It still counts. It still counts.
Aside from the human sacrifice I've got tied up in the closet there, I mean, What about you, Sarah?
To answer the question, I would say it's kind of all of the above, because we have, like Christine was saying, we have the song and dance, which I think is going to be super fun. It's going to be a little bit of costume, because there's going to be like, we've both been kind of wearing a similar, like, this is what we wear as our characters, but we're going to be switching it up for a couple things. There's just going to be that flair to it. And then effects, like, I mean, the sound and everything, it's just going to be really cool. So we've got some cool little things planned for our attendees of the mansion.
I love that. And you know what? You're going to beat them with live art. That's the number one. That's numero uno, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So let me ask you this too. What was the biggest obstacle that you went through that kind of you saw as kind of like a little bit of an upheaval just to develop your characters or to kind of work together to kind of create one cohesive vision?
I think I had a whole lot of time from March until like 2 weeks ago. And then all of a sudden everything in life just happened 2 weeks ago. And it happens to be like the biggest event that it's been leading up to. Not even just finding the time to do this final challenge and make sure it's perfect. It's finding the bandwidth within me at the end of like everything else that's going on right now to give it my full attention and the justice that I know that it deserves. So I think that's just been the challenge. I work really well with deadlines. I work best with deadlines. If I've given like this magical, just have it done whenever, then like I'll never get it done. But if it's like Thursday, have it done, man, I will stay up all night on Wednesday. If I haven't got it done, I will get it done.
You sound like an artist. You do your best work under pressure.
That's right. So that's kind of was my biggest challenge, was like that so many things have happened in the past like 2 or 3 weeks, just life-wise, and like other projects too that I'm involved in. Like I'm involved in a Andrew Sisters Trio. We had like photo shoot and rehearsals and learning 15 songs of like super 1940s swing jazz harmonies. Like, oh my God. Awesome. Like this all at once, all on top of this. So that's just trying to do time. Justice. Yeah, not feeling rushed and not compromising the product.
Good answer. What about you, Sarah?
Definitely. For me, it's also been some of that, because the past couple weeks have been super busy for me as well. Like I take acting classes regularly. I just wrapped a short independent film last weekend into last Tuesday. And then it was like all this other stuff, like we were trying to secure interviews to promote it, and then like also creating stuff for the show. So I just felt so discombobulated, like where should I focus first? And then I had to like kind of sit and have a powwow with myself and be like, girl, like one thing at a time, you're going to be fine.
One foot in front of the other. That's exactly how it works.
And then I also have this horrible tendency, and I think it might be an artist thing too. Because my boyfriend's an actor and he's the same way, but it's being so critical of myself where I'm just like, that's crap. Like, that's stupid. And then I'll say it out loud to someone else. They're like, that's a good idea. Or like, that's not as bad as you think it is. And so it's kind of like me getting out of my own way and then just letting it be what it will be and having trust in the process and just like letting go, being like, all right.
I think that's everything. It's everything. I've literally been in the middle of recording a new record and we just finished and nobody's heard it except for the people that are actually working on the record. And so much of that process is about letting go of any expectation, mm-hmm. of any criticism, of any kind of expectation of what you think it should have been or could have been, because none of that matters. All that matters is what is, how it can grow as a result of what it is, and letting go and letting it be. This interview, I'm doing a lot of hand motions. Man, this is crazy. But it's amazing that you're thinking on that level, because I feel like that's when an artist truly arrives, when they have no filter, when it's just like, this is what it is and who I am or what I'm creating, and I don't give a shit about anything else. So I think it's awesome that you are coming to that place, and you both are collaborating and doing something very special. One more time, where can people find you guys for this show on the 27th? And what time does it all start?
Well, the show is next Monday, July 27th at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Time. So tune in respectively. You can find information on it on Shockfest Film Festival 2020. That's their official Facebook page. And there you can find a link to the Macabre Mansion event, which is its own Facebook page. And then there's an Eventbrite link there, and you can click on that and you can purchase the ticket through there if you want to take part in the evening and be taken through the mansion instead of just watching it live stream, which I definitely recommend that you do, because there's going to be lots of fun little things for paying attendees.
Yeah, and the biggest perk is that you get to help us through to the next round. You get to vote on which of your favorite vampires you want to keep around in Shockfest. The tickets are like, what, $10 to $13 or something like that. But we also have a promo code. We have 25 tickets to give away. I haven't even given one to my mom yet. I'm trying to see. I'm trying to see, you know, who, I mean, everybody's worthy of the ticket. I think everybody should get it, but we have such limited amounts. Like, you need to promise to vote for us and watch it. I'm not just going to give you a promo code and then you fall through. So prove to us that you want to. What did you write to me earlier, Sarah, what should we do?
Some type of wording. I forget.
You said,
to be considered for a free ticket, go to Shockfest Film Festival 2020 and give them a like and follow, DM me, and you'll be notified shortly if you've been chosen for attendance to Macabre Mansion.
Ooh, I like that.
And freaking boat, dang it.
That's right.
That's right. So direct message us. My name is Christine Olson. I don't know how my profile appears to strangers, but send me a message and it's randomly selected. So that's the criteria that you have to meet. But I mean, we're not going to do favorites. Obviously, my mom's getting a ticket. Sorry. I want people to follow you, and I want people to, you know, like LA Talk Radio as well. It's all about this shameless self-promotion. So, you know, do as much as you can.
You know, that's why we started this, this radio show about 6 years ago, because we want to showcase artists, we want to showcase events, and it's amazing to see how this has grown and how the events keep on evolving to be the most innovative things I've seen. I mean, we've had like tap dance artists and painters and filmmakers and doing the showcase and musicians, so it's like, this is why we do it. So I wish you both the greatest and best of luck. Thank you for being wonderful, wonderful guests. Sarah Mayer, Christine Olson, we wish you the best of luck next Monday, July 27th, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern at Shockfest. Let me have you guys promote it one more time. Shockfest, where can people find all the information?
Go to Shockfest Film Festival 2020. That's the Facebook thing. Just type it in the Facebook search. Like and follow them. Scroll down, you'll see some events that say Macabre Mansion. You'll also see some links that will be Eventbrite links. You'll see our Fangin' Out links to past videos and whatnot. All the info you need to know is on Shockfest Film Festival 2020's Facebook page.
Awesome. And you have to keep us updated. We need to know what happens. So I want a full 411 of what the results were, okay? When you guys take the crown.
I want you to vote.
We'll vote.
Yeah, vote.
We'll get all of our people to vote. You're gonna be easily the number one pick. So I'm already being easily swayed with this amazing interview. So thank you, ladies, one more time. We'll have to have you back when you guys start developing more things with these characters. And we wish you the best of luck at Shockfest. Thanks for being guests on Wake Up Hollywood.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for hosting us.
Yes, no worries. For having us.
Keep us posted, okay?
We'll do.
Sure.